Temptation, seduction, identity theft. It is not a new movie. It is an old, old story. We hear parallel stories of temptation today, first in Genesis and again in Matthew. And the two stories are alike in many ways. First, there is food and hunger for both the basic and beyond. Jesus has been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. He is famished. And it is then, when he is weak and vulnerable, that the tempter comes. And he says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." "One does not live by bread alone," Jesus responds. Adam and Eve aren't even hungry. They're snacking off every tree in the garden, except one. They have plenty, but it seems they only want what they can't have. Oh, who would be like that? There is a hole in them, that's true. And in their minds, it is shaped exactly like that lovely forbidden fruit. That would fit perfect. They take it, they eat it, but the emptiness that was there before is still there afterwards. What really tempted them? What convinced them finally to try what God said would be the death of them? "You will not die," says a snake. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Oh, is that true? Their eyes are opened and they do see. They know they're naked. They don't die, at least not right then. But they are mortal. Were they always mortal and just blind to that fact? The word Adam means dust. He was always made of dust. Who is telling the truth in this story? Is God telling the truth? Is the snake telling the truth? The snake is not the devil, but he sure is seductive. And he seems to know an awful lot. Who do we believe? If God's telling the truth, why isn't it clear? Why is it so ambiguous? Why can't we just know? Why do we have to take anything on trust anyway? Is that the real temptation? To question God's fidelity? Is that the real temptation? "You will not die," says the devil. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. He will command his angels, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the world, and he said, "All these I will give to you if you worship me." And Jesus says, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" The Lord your God. The Lord your God. The final temptation is to be like God, both for Adam and Eve and for Jesus. Because Eve and Adam are told, "When you eat of it, you will be like God." The snake says that, but where does it come from? God didn't say that. Eve didn't say it. "When you eat of it, you will be like God." How seductive it is to not need God. How seductive it is to create our own identity apart from the rest of what's created, apart from the Creator. We are a people of great independence. To move God over just a little bit and take that center place. Adam and Eve can't resist it. And what happens? What happens when they do that? What started out as only good also becomes hard. Making a living, bearing children, not to mention raising children. As the story in Genesis unfolds, it all falls apart. The relationships between God and humans, between humans and humans, even between humans and the rest of creation. It all gets harder. It all gets harder. One bad choice leads to another, and finally the whole thing devolves into blame and finger pointing. That's a crazy scene. And it might be funny if it weren't so tragically real, so tragically true. Is that original sin? Can sin even really be inherited? Or is it just inevitable? Is it just inevitable? Why are we the way we are? There is a God. It's not me. That's a pretty simple creed. And sometimes I can barely remember that, even that. Sometimes I barely remember that there is a God and it's not me. You know, because after all, I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. I don't think about you. I have to be reminded to think about you. Sorry to admit that. And it would be funny. It would be funny if it weren't so tragically true, if it weren't so real. But what about Jesus? Jesus does what Adam and Eve and Deb find so hard to do. He resists that temptation. He hears the challenge. He hears the sneer in that voice, "If you are the Son of God." In the New Testament, the devil is defined precisely by this trait. He is one who throws shade, who casts doubt on who you are. In the verses just before this, Jesus is baptized, and his identity as the beloved Son of God is announced, is given. And now comes the tempter to cast doubt on an event that united him with the people of the covenant. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, is not only a personal Messiah, not only one for our independent salvation, but also one who represents God's purpose for all the people of the covenant. Jesus lives into this identity here, refusing to define himself as the tempter does, as the world does, by a self-important show of power to win a claim, or just by a tiny little deal with the devil in exchange for dominion and power over others. "Away with you, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Led by the Spirit, this beloved son chooses a different way. This son declines power and refuses to be identified apart from God, apart from his relationship with the Creator. That may be the best definition of humility we've got. And it's a lonely choice sometimes. It certainly is for Jesus. That struggle of conscience can be a lonely choice. But this Messiah has not come to claim dominion over the world. He has come to give life. He's come to give life. It's dominion over death this Messiah will claim. What about us? We also face circumstances every day that try to convince us that we are not the beloved people of God. Or at least that we don't need to act like that. We face choices every day that call us to go beyond our own self-interest and into deeper relationship with God and with others. Led by the Spirit, do the choices we make give life to us and to others? Maybe the season of Lent isn't about what we will give up. Maybe the season of Lent is about what we will live for, what we choose to do and who we choose to be. "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him," Jesus said. And I wonder, if we do that, if we really do that, will some of what bedevils us go away?